people said?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning, everyone.
Morning, Pastor.
And welcome to the South Dayton edition of Family Church. Now, I'm smiling because every Sunday morning I always say welcome to the Fredonia edition, one of 10 locations meeting in New York, Pennsylvania, and in Europe, praise the Lord. And so more to come. So I greet you, and I'm just so honored and thrilled to be with you, see many, many familiar faces. And is there anybody here you've never heard me before? I just need to know if I need to behave or not. Okay, I have liberty. And so, of course, we love your pastors. They're very precious and very dear to my wife and I, and no doubt dear to you. They're called to do what they do. And, you know, for some time, we used to call Pastor Mike, remember Miracle Mike?
Yes.
Well, he's still Miracle Mike, but he has another title now. It's called Marathon Mike. You know, after preaching for him one weekend, I need to go on vacation myself. You know, an hour and a half drive to Olean, preach, then get an anointing, then starting at the ceiling to 1 a.m., then getting up at 6, you know, to be here, praise the Lord, do two services. But he is a precious gift, and I know that you esteem him and his wife, and you're very, very blessed to have him. So, and I'm very blessed to be here and minister, and I'm a little insecure always ministering after Pastor Mike, because he's like Joel Osteen with the Holy Ghost. I mean, he's dynamic, he's charming, he'll lift you up, and I'm just me, and it's a tough act to follow, but I figured it out. This is why Pastor Mike has me minister just before he comes back. I've noticed a cycle that after hearing me, you can't wait to have him back. You're going to come down and say, oh, thank God, Pastor Mike. You're here. You're back. And so I figured it out. So I guess it's a win-win, praise the Lord. And so if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to open them to John's Gospel, chapter 5. As I made mention last night, some of you were there, that all I have equipped is 5 scriptures. There are just 5 scriptures the Lord gave me to share with these churches this weekend. But how many know that each time will be catered to the congregation, to the needs of the congregation, to what the Spirit of God wants to say in each service. So we're just going to trust Him for utterance, and that we'll be able to say exactly what the Lord wants us to say, and to help us and to encourage us to receive that all that God has for us. Now in John's Gospel, chapter 5, and we're going to start with verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem a sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, or sickly folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, he knew he had been there a long time in that case. He, Jesus, said unto him, wilt thou be made whole, or do you want to be healed? The impotent or sickly man answered, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. While I'm coming down, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. So we read here a very interesting account of the life of Jesus, but also things that God does. It's very interesting here that even in the Old Covenant, God did some amazing things in order to meet the needs of his people. And we read here that an angel would come down at a certain season. It means it wasn't on a schedule. You just had to always be ready and come and stir this pool, the water pull up. And whenever it got stirred, whoever got into the pool or touched the water was healed instantly, no matter what disease or infirmity they had. And no doubt it drew a lot of people to this pool. And we're grateful for these things. And, I don't know exactly what was the troubling of the water. I don't know if they saw an angel's hand or they just saw a little whirlpool or whatever. But evidently, it was visual enough that people can recognize, hey, the pool is being stirred. And the first one in got whole. And I want to draw your attention to a couple of things. It's number one, that God does do these things. God, in his own might and power, can choose to do supernatural things on his own. And we're grateful for it. Why does he do it? For signs and wonders for those that don't believe. God is still in the sign business. We know that in Acts chapter 2. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And it goes on and says, I will do signs, miracles, and wonders. And we're grateful for these things. But what I want to draw your attention to is there's a whole lot, in this account, there's a whole lot of people waiting for that experience. They're waiting for that supernatural experience in order to get their need met. And here, it said a multitude. My best calculation, a multitude is in the thousands. If you read, Jesus fed the multitudes. He fed 4,000. He fed 5,000. And that was only the males there. You know, they ate more than the ladies and the children did. But it could be up to 12, 15,000. And that called that the multitude. So here, there was a multitude of people. It could have been thousands. At least there was hundreds and hundreds of people waiting for this supernatural, spectacular move of God. And God does move that way, and we welcome that. We want to see more of that. But what I see is a correlation in the body of Christ that too many people are waiting for that before their needs are met. And there's a whole multitude that are waiting for that one chance, that one service where God initiates my healing, where God initiates my financial breakthrough, when God initiates, when God in his own power and might does something, I'm waiting for that. Now, we all like to have that all the time. But if you're waiting for that before you're healed, if you're waiting for that to have your financial needs met or your family situation turned around, you may be waiting a whole long time. And so we see this. There are multitudes of people waiting for God in his own power, his own will and might to do something. And if you're waiting for that, you may be waiting a long time. Here, this man waited 38 years. That's a long time to wait. Then we see Jesus comes on the scene. And he asks a very interesting question. Do you want to be whole? And the man immediately said, I have no man to put me in the pool. See, he had his mind, he had his faith on God doing something in his own sovereign will. But Jesus is trying to tell him, you don't need to wait for that. You don't need to wait for that spectacular supernatural service. But also in here we see something else that I think people, I don't want to say come pray to or fall into the trap, is they're waiting for some preacher to get it for them too. Okay, so we see the multitude. We know that the angels, that's God. That's no man, that's God. Wow, and we love that type of stuff. But here, Jesus had to come to this man that was waiting 38 years and telling you, you don't need to wait. You don't need to wait for God. You don't need to wait for someone to initiate something and to call you out in a service or try to build up your faith and be involved in your miracle. You can be healed now. Now, notice in this account, there are multitudes, lots and lots of people waiting. But here, if they know the truth, they can receive immediately. Without an agency of God on his own. We know everything good comes from God, not waiting for God to initiate something, but also here, not waiting for your pastor to initiate, not waiting for someone else, not waiting for a prayer warrior. And I find this, a lot of people are looking for other people to assist them in their miracle. Now, thank God, God puts in the body Christ pastors. And how many know your pastor is there? And especially when you're a baby Christian, you don't know the Bible, you need help along the way. Just like when, it's just like spiritual growth, it's just like natural growth. You know, when you're a baby, you know, you don't walk yourself home from the hospital. You don't start talking. How many know you need a lot of care and help from mom or dad until you learn how to walk? How do you learn how to talk? How do you learn how to use the facilities? You know, you grow and you come to the point where you don't need mom to spoon feed you or change your diapers. It's called growth. And what God wants us to know is this, that as we grow in the Lord, that He wants us to be able to receive directly from Him immediately. Not waiting for Him to do something. Not waiting for some preacher to initiate something, that we can be whole. Now, why can we do this? Well, the Bible says this in Ephesians 1:3. Now, I'm just going to give you two references. That blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. One translation says that God has blessed us with everything heaven enjoys. So here God has already blessed us with everything we need. Everything heaven has, God has already given each one of us everything that heaven has. Another scripture is in Peter, 2 Peter 1:3. It says, according to His divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue. Notice this verse says that God, according to His divine power, hath given us. That's not future tense. That's past tense. God hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And so everything you need for life, to live a natural life, physical life, financial life, and godliness, your spiritual life, God has already given that to you. And you do not need to wait for God to give it to you. You do not need to wait for a man to try to get it for you. That's already in your account. Now let's look at this as an account, and this is so important. Because there's way too many people waiting for God. Or, you know, when we have the prophets come in or someone come in, man, I'm just hope pastor calls out my condition, man. I really want that. Or, I you know, if he just would call that out, I would just know that God loves me and hears me. Now, thank God, God does do that when we're in more of a babyhood stage of growth. But God wants us to be big boys and big girls and not have to rely on Him and not have to rely on someone else. Now, He hath blessed us. That means He's already done everything He's going to do about your answer to your prayer, to your family situation, to your bank account, to the healing of your body. Now, how many of you have a checking account or a savings account? Just about all of you. Now, some of you younger folks, ask mom or dad about how this stuff works. All right. Let's just say that you work somewhere, or even better, you have a rich Aunt Louise. or a rich Uncle Tommy. And you were mentioned in the inheritance. And Aunt Louise or Uncle Tommy passed away. And you got everything. I mean, they were wealthy business people. They had investments. And literally, they gave you an estate worth millions of dollars and a bank account with hundreds of thousands, if not $1 million. And it was deposited, and lawyers take care of it, to deposit in this account, this fund that is yours. Wouldn't you like that? Run this way. Well, you know, So we could say this, that Uncle Tommy or Aunt Louisa or Louise hath blessed you with a big inheritance. Well, they died, right? And they gave it to you. It's legally yours. You wouldn't have to ask them for it if they already done it, okay? But also, if you were to go to Walmart or to Tops, or you go to Super Duper where they have those awesome donuts that I'm going to probably stop on the way home. You know, you can have all this money in the bank, but it will do you no good unless you know how to access it. Okay? And what a lot of people do are waiting for God to do the transactions for you. Now, if you have this inheritance, you wouldn't go to Super Duper and get a dozen of these awesome assorted donuts. And you wouldn't call the bank and say, "Hello, National Trust, I really, really need you to pay this money for these donuts, because I really need donuts. My kids are expecting them," and they said, "Don't come home without them." Every time you needed to draw from that, you wouldn't call the bank. The bank would kind of look at you, "Why are you calling us? That's not my job. This has been blessed to you. All you need to do is either write a check or use the debit card, and you make the transactions." Now, this becomes difficult for many religious folks, because they feel, well, they always got to get God to do it for you. And if you're continually waiting for God to do something for you, you will find yourself like the multitude waiting a whole long time. You know, and every time you had to pay your electric bill, you wouldn't call the bank. And you wouldn't go to a bank teller every time and say, you know, I mean, you could go to the bank teller and, well, every time I need a bill, here I make these. You can do everything on your own through a credit card or debit card or a check. And you won't have to consult the bank because it's already been deposited there. And this tends to be very difficult towards Christians to realize you don't need to wait for God to heal you. He's already healed you. The Bible says, "By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed." God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, hath already, that heaven itself enjoys. He's already put that in your account. What he needs for you and I to do is learn to be skillful on our transactions. And really, there's a whole lot, brothers and sisters, waiting for you. And God is just waiting for you to start using your debit card. What is your debit card? Now look at this. Turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 14. John's Gospel 14. And let's start with verse 12. And it says this: "Verily, verily, I say unto you." Now, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm reading King James just because it's pretty. And, you know, it's poetic. But, you know, sometimes if we read the verilies, you know, we say, well, that's pretty, that's flowery, but we miss the impact of the meaning. If you look the word verily up in the Greek, New Testament was written in Greek, it is the word we get amen. So what Jesus is saying here is, amen, amen, I say to you. Now, why is that important? Well, the word amen, if you study that out, is number one used by man. And when man uses it, like we use it, we say amen at the end of a prayer or an end of proclamation. If your pastor says, "We're going to build a new building," and you guys say, "Oh, no." No, you say, "Amen." Oh, man, amen. What means, so be it. After he said something, you say, so be it. But also the word amen is used by God. And when God uses amen, you study this word out, he doesn't use it at the end of a proclamation. He uses it at the beginning. And I know Jesus is God. And therefore, he has the right to say amen at the beginning and not at the end. And so when it's used in the beginning, it takes on a deeper meaning. Instead of it being so be it at the end, when it's in the beginning, it becomes a guarantee. And so what Jesus is saying here, when he says, amen, amen, I say unto you, he says, this is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. This is the way it is. There's a translation I love. It's called God's Word Translation. Whenever it uses the word verily, it uses the word amen or the word guarantee. And so it says this, I guarantee. And when he does it twice, that means he double guarantees. You ever hear the sales pitch? And we'll put a double warranty on this. God is putting a double warranty on this. A double warranty. And so Jesus is saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, or I double guarantee this, that he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he also do also. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Now notice this. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And so right here, Jesus is giving us the power of attorney to use his name. He says, because I go unto the Father, I'm giving you a name. And whenever you use that name in a transaction, I'll back it up. Really, we could say it this way. The name of Jesus is our debit card to everything that heaven has provided for us. And, you know, have you ever opened a checking account lately? It's been a while, but, you know, my daughters are now our adults, and so I help them through. They give you pages and pages of you know, all that fine writing, legal talk, and so forth like that, you know. Before they open the account, you know, you got to sign off. And so here, Jesus, instead of giving us all the paperwork, he gives us a verbal guarantee. And he says, in your account, I guarantee to back up anything you ask in my name. I double guarantee it. You know, and when God swears by himself, there is no greater. God can't swear on something greater than him. And so when Jesus said, I guarantee this, that means I would have to cease to exist if this weren't to be the case. And so what Jesus has done here is given us his name to use. Just like a debit card. Just like if I were to go to Super Duper here, I would not need to call the bank and every transaction and see if it's good. No, I would just simply use that card without contacting the bank, and the bank will always back it up. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. Now, what is very interesting, you know, we talked about waiting for God to do something. And you read here and say, well, here it talks about asking Jesus, but no, it isn't. Now, if you study, and I love to study, the Bible says to study, show yourself approved unto God. This word ask is very interesting, and I'll prove it to you. It almost seems like whatever you ask or ask me, but that's not what he's saying. He's saying whatever you ask in my name. That word ask actually decrees. It means to decree, call upon, or have need of. Whenever you decree the name of Jesus, or another way, whenever you invoke the name of Jesus, I'll back it up. I'll back it up, just like a credit card. Now, I'll give you a case example here. Turn with me to the book of Acts. I hope you love the Bible. And again, what we're doing is, a lot of times we're waiting for God to do something. When God has given us the name of Jesus, God has given us tools, and he's waiting for us to make the transaction with what he's given us. Now, in Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, it says this, now Peter and John went up together to the temple, being the hour of prayer being the ninth hour. And a certain man was lamed from his mother's womb, whom they have carried, lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said this, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. O God, please heal this man and raise him up." Now, if you're following along, you know it doesn't say that. No, he said, "Such as I have." I have something in my possession that I can use at any time. And what is that? "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." What is that? That's a kingdom transaction. Did you notice that Peter and John didn't ask God to heal that man? Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But there's a higher way of living. There's a way that God wants us to transact kingdom business. He wants us to grow up to a place where we bypass always having to call the bank. Now again, sometimes there's a sense of security there. Sometimes, you know, we fellowship. Jesus said, you know, whatever we ask the Father in my name, he'll give it. And there's a fellowship part. But when it comes to getting your needs met, when it comes to healing, when it comes to situations in life, God wants you to use your debit card. He wants you to invoke the name of Jesus and just use it on a daily basis in order to make a withdrawal from heaven. And so here, they didn't pray. They didn't wait for God. This man was laid daily. And I was reading, I heard other people say, this man was there when Jesus went by the temple, but yet wasn't healed. And daily. So if he was waiting for the moving of the water, he'd wait a whole long time. But here again, Peter and John is showing them something that they have, that you have, is I have the name of Jesus. And so they use the name of Jesus. They didn't call the bank. Didn't say, "Oh God, can I do this or can I do this?" You know, you don't need to ask every time you make a transaction. You just use the card. And God wants us to grow and to recognize and appreciate and value what he's given us in the name of Jesus. Now, turn with me to Mark chapter 16. Now, for those of you that were here last night, I started with the same scripture. Going a way different direction, but that's why we follow the Holy Ghost, to minister to what people need. And I know that you're well taught. This isn't anything new. But throughout, you know, I've been in ministry 35 years. A lot of people, number one, they wait for God to do something, and, well, I'm just waiting on God. Or a lot of people have faith in other people's faith. They have faith in other people's prayers. You have to realize, I don't have a greater inheritance than you do in the kingdom of God. We all have the same inheritance. We all have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Now, why do some of us get more results? Is we use the card more. You know, there's been cases upon cases of people dying of malnutrition, of exposure, that had money but didn't use it. It was a true case. My spiritual father, Kenneth Hagin, read this in the newspaper, that there was a so-called homeless guy. And they found him in the streets and died of malnutrition and exposure. And when they did the autopsy, he literally had tens of thousands of dollars in a money belt or something, some type of attachment. See, he had something, but he didn't use it. You know, and, you know, concerning if your Aunt Louisa, Uncle Tom, remember them? Yes. Don't forget about Aunt Louisa, Uncle Tom. They left you a whole lot of money. You can decide what you want to do with that. You can decide, you know what, I'm going to struggle through life. I'm just going to keep it there in memory of Aunt Louise, Uncle Tom. Or you can use it, and you can use it wisely. And so God wants us to grow and learn to use what he's given us. Now, in Mark 16, in verse 15, it says this, "And go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name." What he's doing, when Jesus paid the price of redemption and he purchased inheritance, you know what he did? He gave us a debit card. He gave us a checkbook. And what is it? In my name. Now, what will the name of Jesus do? In my name, they'll cast out demons. Or a better way, we can say this, in my name, they shall exercise authority over the devil. Do you know you don't need to have anybody get the devil off of you? Have you ever been bombarded by thoughts? Have you ever been attacked in your body? Have you ever had the devil cause strife and division in your family? And you know what we do a lot of times? God, we call him the banker. God, do something. You have to realize this. God hath done everything he's ever going to do for you already. There's nothing more he can do for you. He gave Jesus. He gave you everything heaven has. And he's put in your account. And he's given you the right to use it. And a lot of times we're still waiting for the moving of the water. And so we have this name. Then whenever the devil comes, you can use it and heaven will back it up. I'm going to use another illustration. And if you don't use the name, God can't do anything for you. Kenneth Hagin had a vision of Jesus. Jesus appeared to him in December 1952 in Broken Bow, Oklahoma. It was broken, so it needed to be fixed. There's a lot of broken things. Broken Arrow. I went to school in Broken Arrow. Broken Bow. A lot of broken things in Oklahoma. But nevertheless, Jesus chose Broken Bow to appear to Brother Hagin. And he said this, I'm going to teach you about the devil, demons, and demon possession. From this time forward, was known my word as discerning the spiritual, operating your life and ministry when you're in the spirit. So Jesus has appeared to Brother Hagin, teaching him how to deal with the demons, how to cast out devils, how to use his authority, and why Jesus is teaching him. And you probably have read this, maybe you know in the book I Believe in Visions or heard it. But why Jesus, the Son of God, was teaching Brother Hagin, a demon comes out between them, between Brother Hagin and Jesus, and starts saying in a shrill voice, "Yakety yak yak, yakety yak yak." And then he put out a smoke screen. Some of you maybe have heard this or read this. And now Brother Hagin cannot see Jesus, and Brother Hagin cannot hear Jesus. And Jesus just goes on talking. And Brother Hagin says, it seemed like it went on for 10 minutes, but it's probably only a matter of 10, 15 seconds. And he's wondering, why doesn't Jesus do something about this? Doesn't Jesus know I can't hear him? Doesn't Jesus know I can't see him? You know, what Jesus is saying is so important. But Jesus, you know, saying, Jesus, why ain't you doing something? And finally, Brother Hagin got desperate and said this, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to shut up." And when he said that, that demon fell to the ground and started to quiver and started to whine. And he said, not only shut up, get out of here. And the demon ran off. You know, you're familiar with that. But what Jesus said to Brother Hagin is worth meditation. Jesus said this to Brother Hagin, if you hadn't done something about that, I couldn't. Of course, That was against Brother Hagin's old Pentecostal theology, because they used to beller at God all night, you know, trying to get God to do something. You remember the old phrase, we're going to storm the gates of heaven. And now that sounds religious, but that's absolutely wrong. Well, the gates of heaven are open wide to you. You don't need to storm them. I remember we had a lady that wanted to do a prayer meeting in our church years ago. It was from one of the old Pentecostal denominations. And she did this advertisement. Yeah, we're going to storm the gates of heaven. And I says, come here. I know that sounds pretty, but you don't storm the gates of heaven unless you're the devil, unless you're Satan trying to get in where you don't belong. You know, we have access, we have boldness, and you can see how sometimes we get religious and we think a certain way and brings us into bondage, because they have this mindset, we're going to storm, we're going to knock, we're going to pound, and we're going to try to get God to get out and do something. See how wrong that is. And so Brother Hagin was raised on this, that you bellered at God. Oh, God, God, do something. God, God, do something. Do something. God. And Jesus is saying, if you hadn't done something, I couldn't. And so Brother Hagin, and you know the story, Brother Hagin said, well, Jesus, I'm not hearing you. I don't know, there might be some wax in my ears. You didn't say you couldn't. You said you wouldn't, right? No, Jesus said, no, I didn't say I wouldn't, I couldn't. And after a few times, Brother Hagin kept going, I can't accept that. I can't accept it. I know I'm seeing you, because that goes against everything, my theology. You just upended my theology. He says a lot of your theology needs upending. And then what Jesus did, gave him four scriptures in the New Testament that says when it comes to dealing with the devil, that the believer has the right to deal with the devil. The Bible says this, resist the devil and he'll flee from your pastor.
Come on.
Pray to God and the God will deal with the devil.
No,
resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Another place says this, give no place to the devil. Here Jesus said, in my name, they'll exercise authority over the devil. And so he had to see this revelation that when God gave Brother Hagin, which he gave us, the name of Jesus, we have the credit card, God doesn't. We do have the debit card, God doesn't. And here, Brother Hagin was waiting for God to do something. And guess what? God was waiting for him to do something. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Verse 18, verily. Now, how many remember what verily in the Greek means? Amen, right, amen. And again, amen is usually at the end of proclamation when it's used by a man, but when God uses it, it's at the beginning. So Jesus is using this word amen, which is what? A guarantee, like all the bank, you know, all the paperwork. This is, aren't you glad Jesus' paperwork is just a verbal guarantee?
Amen.
Yeah, amen. You used that right. Amen. God's word says, I guarantee this. What does it guarantee? Verily I say unto you that whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Do you see the gravity of that? And I think the debit card is the best example of this. Notice here, Jesus, I guarantee, it's not what you're trying to get me to do. It's whatever you do, I'll back you up. Just like the debit card, whether you're to Super Duper, Tops, or Walmart. You take that thing, and I'll make it good. The bank will make good. They'll make the transfer. It'll back up that card. This is what Jesus is saying to you and I. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. I'll back it up. Whatever you bind, whatever you loose, I'll loose. Now, what is binding and loosing? Another way is simply this, forbidding or permitting. Back to Brother Hagin. As Jesus was talking, and then that demon appeared, yakety yak yak, Brother Hagin permitted that demon. And he was wondering why God wasn't doing something, why Jesus wasn't doing something for him. And waiting and waiting, waiting, like the moving of the water. See, if you're waiting too long, you're doing it wrong. Yeah. You know, when you go to Super Duper, and you know, you got your dozen of donuts, and please, if you're going after the service, save some for me. And you swipe that card, or you put the chip in. You're not there for 3 weeks. Well, I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting for the bank to come through. No. Immediately. Immediately. Remember when Jesus talked to the man who was waiting for God or waiting for some preacher? He said, "Will you be whole?" He says, "Rise, stand up. Take what belongs to you." And what was the word was used? Immediately. He was made whole. Remember Peter and John, Acts chapter 3, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, let me get it out." The spiritual credit or debit card, in the name of Jesus, be thou whole. And notice what Jesus said, whatever you ask or decree in my name, I'll back it up. Jesus is our banker of everything he has promised and provided. And here again it says, it's not up to him, it's up to you. And brothers and sisters, sometimes we put up with stuff for a long time. Sometimes people put up with headaches, with symptoms, and they just put up with it. And you know what they say? I'm believing God. I'm believing God. Well, how are you believing God? Well, you know, I read the Bible. I know that by the stripes of Jesus we're healed. That don't heal you. It doesn't. You have to make a transaction. You have to use the word or the name of Jesus and say, "Hey, headache, in the name of Jesus, I forbid you to be in my head. I forbid you. I don't put up with headaches. In Jesus' name, I enforce my rights as a child of God. The word says by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed and I don't accept any sickness." That's a transaction. Yeah. But a lot of people say, "Well, I'm reading the Bible. Well, I go to church." That's wonderful. We encourage that. I'm in the church going business. I wouldn't be in business if people didn't come to church. But that is not a transaction. That's like saying, "Well, I went into the supermarket. I looked around for 45 minutes every Sunday morning, but you didn't buy anything. You didn't get anything." The transaction is necessary. What are you transacting? What is it that you need? What is it that you've been putting up with in your life? You need to get your immediate. You need to get your answer. Don't be waiting for God. God is waiting for you. Now, how do you do this? My time is slipping away. I should have said I was fixing clothes about 10 minutes ago. Now, hopefully you were never like this. But when I went to Bible school, you know, I went to a faith school, and really I was living under vile poverty. You know, ramen noodles, you know, because you get 10 packs for a dollar. We used to get bread in a second day bread shop, 7 loaves for a dollar. And that's what I did as a Bible school student, you know, because you have tuition, you have books, you have an apartment. And I remember this, that sometimes before I made a transaction, I had to make sure it was in the account. How many know that if I don't know what's in the account, I'm afraid to use this? You know? Okay. So what you need to do is this. What is it that you want changed? Is it in your body? Is it finances? Is it a family situation? Honestly, Too many people put up with family situations and just want God to do something with them. And God says, whatever you bind, I'll bind. Whatever you loose. If you're going to put up with it, I'll put up with it. If you're going to forbid it, I'll forbid it. I'll get involved. But it's up to you. You got to use that card. So you got to find out what is in your bank account. Because you'll not be able to use the name of Jesus unless you know God's word backs it up. So what is it? If it's healing that you need, and again, I'm not teaching anything new, just a different slant on this. Find out what's in your bank. Where do you find it? Here. Get scriptures. Find the scriptures that promise you health and healing. Write them down. Meditate on them. Get them in your heart. And know this is God's will. You know, with the name of Jesus and with prayer, there's a little thing that needs to be attached to it or it won't work. You know what that's called? Faith. All right? When I went to Bible school, I had to make sure there was enough money in the bank to make that transaction. I would not be wise just to use it to see if it would work. I would get in trouble. A lot of people are using the name of Jesus like a magic wand. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Because they haven't taken time to build their faith and understand what that name backs up. What's in the bank account? Now, turn with me real quick. I'm fixing to close the demo too, but I'm going to show you something. In Acts, let me put this down here. We saw that Peter and James used the name of Jesus. They had it. Such as I have, give I thee. But I want you to notice this, that something Peter said when he was questioned about the healing. And chapter 3 and verse 16. And he was questioned, how did that lame man get healed? Remember, such as I have, he got his credit card, the name of Jesus. Didn't ask God, didn't wait for something, he just used it, he just swiped it, and immediately something happened. And notice this, in his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. So it isn't a haphazard, well, I'm going to try the name of Jesus. I'm going to try using it and see if anything works. There's faith in it. How do you get faith? And I know you're taught, well, faith comes by what? Hearing and hearing. So before you start swiping away with the name of Jesus, get in the book. Find scriptures. Feed your spirit. Now I'm going to mess with you. Close your Bibles. It works. Jesus guaranteed it works. Jesus said, if you'll use it in my name, I'll back it up. All right. The thing is, most people are just trying instead of believing, trying to do it. Now, I don't mean to hurt you, but I'm going to show you how to get to work. All right. I'm going to again use an illustration of Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin was on the road preaching, teaching, and back then they didn't have cell phones, and it was very expensive to call on the phone when he was traveling all over the United States. So every day they wrote a letter, him and his wife wrote a letter to each other. Well, in the letter, he wrote that his daughter had developed a growth over her eye. And the doctor, used to do checks in the school, and her daughter wants to know, what do I tell the doctor when he examines, because there's a growth on his eye. Well, he didn't answer it widely, and for the next 3 days, he looked up every healing scripture. Now, he knew them. He preached them. But he took time. And, he even did this. He would sleep an hour in the nighttime and get in the Word for an hour. looking over those scriptures, feeding his faith. Then he'd go to sleep for a couple hours and get up for an hour. And he did this, brothers and sisters, for 3 days. What did he do? He took time to develop his faith before the transaction. And after 3 days, he wrote back and says, "Tell my daughter, Daddy says you're healed." And that girl went to bed, and next morning that thing disappeared. And sometimes we're simply amazed at that. Wow! Wow! We're like Peter to Jesus. Look what you did to that tree. Look what Brother Hagen did to that growth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if we'll just take the time, some of you have family situations. And you're waiting for God to do something. Get in the book. What does the Bible say about it? If it's financial, you know what most people do? Yeah, I heard Pastor, can they come up for prayer? And Pastor, you know, he's really used to faith. What are you standing? I believe by the stripes Jesus I'm healed. Or my God shall supply all my needs. Now, that's good if you're newly born again. You can have your pastor help you. But how many know when we grow up, it's time to put the bottle away, the little Gerber bib, and take time. See, there are people that have waited 38 years, still waiting for God. Well, God says, I'm waiting on you. Just a little time in His Word. Get it in your spirit, what He has said. Get it fortified, whether it's healing, finances, family situation, and until you've got it, that I know, that's what God, I know that I know, then make the transaction. Then say, in the name of Jesus, this is what the Word says, this is my covenant, right now I claim this. Satan, you get your hands off of this. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I'll back it up. Okay? Well, my time has slipped away, but I trust I helped you. No more waiting. No more waiting for God. No more waiting for someone. You have the ability. You have an inheritance. You've been given a debit card from heaven, name of Jesus. Take time to find out what the Word says about your situation. Get it built up in your spirit and execute it. And whatever you bind, God will bind. Whatever you loose, God will loose. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your goodness. Father, thank you for helping us this morning to recognize what's been given to us. Father, many of us use a debit card. And Father, we use it confidently because we know what's in our account. Father, help all of us to know what you put in our account, that we've been blessed with everything heaven has to offer. And Father, that we would take time to fortify that in our spirits, that we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. And Father, that Father, it would no longer be in the realm of trying or hoping, but Father, doing and seeing immediate results. And Father, I thank you, Father, for each and every person. I pray, Father, whatever their need is, Father, you'd show them by your Spirit how to apply this in their life. In Jesus' name, with heads bowed, eyes closed. I know I'm a guest here, and I know this is the early bird gets a worm crowd, and so you usually have to love God to get up at 8:30 in the morning and go to church. But I just got to make sure everyone is born again, everyone's walking with the Lord. Is there anybody here that you have not been born again, or you have been born again, and you know that you need to rededicate your life to the Lord? If that's you, would you raise your hand before we close here this morning? Anybody here? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, Father, we trust you. Father, that we'll not just be a hearer. Father, that we'll be a doer. Father, there is so much that belongs to us. And Father, may we not wait till heaven to come to realization all that you've given us and all you promised to us. Father, may we enjoy these things, our rights and privileges now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Pastor Scott, I'm going to let you close. Again, thanks for bearing with me. And see, Pastor Mike, remember, he has me here that way. He's a man, that guy did such a poor job. You can't wait for Pastor Mike to come back. And so make sure you love him. Say, oh, thank God you're back. Praise the Lord.